Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Another side.
Johnson, now let's get it in. Sonny B, let's go. I got it. All right, let me get it.
Another side.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, episode 2 of Another Side Pod. Man, we are overwhelmed by the reaction to episode 1. Thank you so much. Everyone who's listened, subscribed, reviewed, all that good stuff. Thank you so much. We really mean it.
It was super, super dope to, I don't know, just to hear our podcast amongst the other ones, because I'm a podcast listener. And it, to me, it sounded just like in the echelon of all the podcasts that I listened to, like the audio value was good. The content was good. The guest that we had on, the very special guest we had, Miss Norrell, was awesome. And my man Lucas, that brought us all by surprise, you know, with his submission, his song. I think everything went so well. And we might as well give it a shot for another one, huh?
Absolutely. It's mind-blowing, because I'm the same as you, CJ. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts. My wife's always saying to me, she's like, do you ever have silence? She's like, can you ever be in silence? I was like, actually, no, like, I can't. If I'm not listening to music, I'm listening to a podcast or I'm playing music or whatever. There isn't really a time. Like, it's not like I hate silence, but I'd much rather hear something. But anyway, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and exactly like you say, to see our artwork up there amongst the other artworks that I've seen again and again and again on my podcast app. Shout out Jason Thompson, by the way, on the artwork. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. It was so surreal to see ours up there as well and to see it all there. So very cool. A humbling experience, but kind of cool to listen to our own thing and to see Lucas as well, just what he's doing at his age. It's great. It's really great to see, and it's really important for us to see kind of that new breed and that new generation coming through. And yeah, it's so awesome. It's so awesome that the past year and the pandemic and lockdown has had an effect on so many things, but so many young people are rising up and they've used that time and they've come out of it. It's to be super cheesy, but it's like in the chrysalis, isn't it, waiting, and then all these butterflies coming out, man. It's yes. Great, I absolutely love seeing it. But man, how's your week been? What you been up to?
Oh man, so we're celebrating. So here at the Another Side Podcast, we celebrate the artists that are willing to take a chance on themselves. And this week in particular, my debut EP has been released on Apple Music and Amazon Music and all streaming platforms today. Da 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 da! Applause. We have fireworks going off. We have a big parade coming down the street later on. Not really, but in my mind it is. I have released my EP. That's what's the latest has been. It has been a long, long road in releasing music and, you know, doing it all yourself. You know, like we talked about and always will talk about, you know, doing it yourself. It calls for a lot of attention, calls for a lot of time and detail. You have to want to do it for real. And it kind of takes a little guts to, you know, to expose yourself in that manner. You know, that this is your vision. This is something that you've been working on and working at for a very long time. And then it's a debut of myself in this manner, in this magnitude. So, you know, I've produced or co-produced some records and with artists, but not in the forefront. Like, my actual name is on, like, if you type in my name, the EP will come up. You know, I haven't been attached to anything like this before. So it kind of takes a little bit, you know, a little bit of gall to say, you know what, I'm willing to expose myself. You know, I'm willing to put myself out there. I'm willing to, you know, just give it a shot and believe in myself. I'm believing in myself as a producer, as a composer, as a independent artist overall. And it's been a long journey. It's been a very, very long journey. And so far, you know, it's only been, it's been about 12 hours and 57 minutes since the album has been released. And I can't wait to hear the feedback on that. Hopefully I can interview myself on the Another Side podcast.
This is it, man. This is it. You understand so well from all these different points of view. You're doing it yourself at the moment. You're hearing everyone else talking about it and the guests that we're having on, and as well as the up-and-coming artists and hearing their journey. And you're doing this at the same time. And ladies and gentlemen, I am genuinely not saying this because he's sitting in front of me over Zoom, over a call. But honestly, you've got to check this out. This piece of work from CJ is incredible. He sent me a private SoundCloud link a while ago, and a lot of the time we'll get friends that send us things, and you're supportive and you're nice and you're sort of regardless. Like, sometimes you might be brutally honest and you might say things like, you know, actually this and this. But I was listening to it and I was just absolutely loving it. Whether you're a musician that appreciates kind of that deeper music groove, all those kind of things, or if you like songs and you like tunes and you like hearing hooks, it's all in there. I know I sound like an advert for CJ's music right now, but honestly, I was genuinely blown away, bro. It was awesome. Such a good album. Absolutely loved it. I was feeling good listening to it. So I think ain't nothing to it but to do it. Let's play a track. This was unplanned. But CJ, do you want to intro a track that you'd like to play?
Sure. I'll intro the first of all, it's called Font Hill Volume 1. I had the pleasure of working with so many great friends of mine, some new friends, some intro friends, and some guys that I've been working with for a very, very long time. This particular song is called Some Love. It features Hamilton Harden. It features the B-Wagon, which is the guys that I work with on the Bible of Love Snoop Dogg album, the gospel album, Bennett Paysinger and Mike Burrell, and also BJ Kemp, who also played bass on the song. He mixed the entire record and also was the co-producer on the record as well. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just listen to Some Love. I didn't want to give you guys too much, you know. I just gave you a little snippet of this song. It started, you know, just me being in my garage and really, really attempting to get this music off of my chest, you know, like actually like calling my guys and saying, hey, I actually want to put out music. I want to do it for myself. Can you help me? And that brings me to a point, you know, we all need help. We all will need help at some point. We can do it ourselves, and I'm sure it'll be good. The value of it will be great. But to get the help of others and feedback of others and also like that just professional side, like I can try and play keyboards, you know, but it just won't feel the same. F-E-E-L. It won't feel the same as if, you know, I played it or if Michael Burrell would play it or Bennett Paisinger would play it. And Hamilton Harden, I actually think we should have him on the show as well. He is an incredible talent. He sings everything on his albums. He plays everything on his albums. And when I say play, I mean every instrument.
I'm sold. Let's get
drums, bass, guitar, like, you know, everything. But he's such a unique artist. You know, it's hard to kind of get in touch with him. And once I cast my net and DM'd him on Instagram, he hit me back and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, do you mind if I get let's get on a call? I want to talk to you about a couple of things that I have coming up. And it was just instant. The chemistry was instant. I sang him an idea over the phone. He sent me back that masterpiece of vocals and that the way that he approaches songs is very, very different. And I just, you know, I really, really loved it. Also on the album is my wife, Norelle. She has a song on there. It's called Story. I mean, just a slew of other people that I really, really enjoy working with. And I'd highly recommend that you pick that up, not just because it's mine, but just because it's some very, very inspirational music. It's some very, very, it's vision-based music. You know, it came with some intent, and I hope that everybody kind of is able to see and hear that from the album.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I think the whole thing of reaching out and collaborating and being a community, essentially, that's what being a musician is about, isn't it? It's when that person says, hey, do you fancy jumping on this? And it's like, you know what, actually, I've got time. Let's do it. Let's get on that. And there's so many times that people don't reach out and don't send that message or whatever it is because they feel like either there's gonna be no response or whatever it may be. And I'm such a big believer of reaching out to people and just seeing what happens. I always encourage people to do it, young musicians. Just reach out, get in touch with someone, but not in the sense of like spamming and just copy and paste message. Like actually say that, like, hey, I like your stuff. I like what you're doing. This track was really cool. Whatever it may be, like actually show some love because we all love hearing it, don't we? When you get one of those messages, like a DM or whatever, like, hey, I loved what you did on this or whatever it might be. It feels great and it feels amazing. And I would love our listeners to do that. I'd love our listeners to DM someone they admire, someone they like, someone that they want, they aspire to be potentially, not necessarily always in the music world, but whatever your field is or what you want to get into. And we'd love to hear some of the stories. If you're touching base with people and you're getting in touch with your heroes or just people you aspire to be similar to in the future, whatever it might be, just do it. Just do it. The worst that can happen is there's no reply or they leave you unseen or whatever. But then you've done it. The best that can happen, you get a response. And I think you'd be surprised. I'm not necessarily talking about, I don't know, DMing Tom Cruise. I don't even know if Tom Cruise has got Insta, but let's just say like the mega, mega, mega stars. Maybe a little bit different. They probably get thousands of DMs a day. But with other people, you'd be surprised. Just reach out. It's nice. It's nice to get those messages. I'm sure you get them as well, CJ. And it's lovely in the DM to get a message. And occasionally there's one that comes in. It's just like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I want to reply to that. That's like a lovely thing to say or whatever it might be. So yeah, it's cool. And the thing is, like, everyone's got an ego, haven't they, to some extent? It might be a small, humble ego. It might be a bigger ego. Whatever it might be, we all have an ego to some extent. And someone saying they're enjoying what you're doing is always going to feel good. No matter how much you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, it's always a good feeling, and positivity comes around. So those people that, like you're saying with the album, recording, doing things and bouncing ideas back and forth, and then when they get a project in the future, hey, do you want to jump on this? And it's that community feel of being a musician, which almost has been enhanced over the last 2 years, because we've all been in our pot and in our shell and in our place. And it's like reaching out has actually in some weird ways been more accessible, because it's like, hey, the world's in the same position. For once, we're all on a level playing field. It's not like, oh, that person's out for 6 months on that tour, or oh, that person's doing this for this time. It's like, no, we're all at home. Everyone we know is pretty much at home or in one place. So I don't want to bang on too much about the pandemic in this podcast, but I think it's good. I think it's been a good positive thing, and I'm actually really excited to see where things are going in the next few months. And it's been amazing to see festivals come back in the UK. Like, on it, it makes me so happy to see people back out doing things. It's amazing. I know in the States you guys have been open for a little bit longer than us, but things are back now. But it's good here. It's looking good, and it's just so lovely to see music back.
That's a great point, an amazing point. And I can just say, it's not going to slow down. You know, like you said, it's not a pandemic podcast, but it is something that affects all of us, and it has affected all of us, and it's continuing to affect all of us in good and bad ways, you know. But enough about all that good stuff, good and bad stuff. What's been up with you, bro?
Oh, man. You know, there's a phrase here in the UK. I imagine it's probably a worldwide phrase, but I mean, it's super applicable to the UK. When it rains, it pours. And also, like, you wait for buses and then two come along at once. I'm sure there are phrases in the States as well. But it's like any musician listening to this is going to know exactly what I'm about to say. But you have these times when work is quiet. And you're just like, I wonder when the next bit of work's coming in. Then you have times when work is far, far, far too busy. But all is in your mind is you're thinking about, I remember when it was quiet and this is what I wanted. So I've asked for this and I've asked for it to be like this. So yeah, things are a little bit manic. A friend of mine has very kindly asked me to cover some shows for him. He works for a really cool artist here in the UK. So that's really cool. So I'm getting... learning a lot of songs at the moment, which is great, and they're all really good fun to play, which is awesome. But also, I'm working with a new artist and programming up a lot for her live show, getting ready for rehearsals next week. So that's really cool as well, but it's just doing so much is happening all at once, and yeah, it's a lot of work, but I'm absolutely loving it. And I absolutely love working with new artists. It's absolutely incredible. I love seeing those early formative stages where things are happening, and yeah, just those steps and seeing things happening. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, but a lot of hours spent in my studio, but I'm not complaining. It's all good.
Beautiful, man. Like, the starting with artists, and you know, I'll just, as long as we're here, we might as well talk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of artists, you know, starting with an artist from the beginning, and this is like some super news, and it's great for everyone. Rihanna was just named in Forbes as a billionaire. It's like 1.7 whatever, you know, net worth. And I worked with Rihanna when she first started as an artist. I mean, like sharing rooms, not me sharing a room with Rihanna, but you know, like the band and crew and everybody mm-hmm. sharing rooms, and the rehearsal process was like, she was there before we were, you know, working out the dance steps, and we were all sit on the couch and talk about, you know, sports. And, you know, I remember, one instance, Eric Smith, that was on bass. That's like my best friend. So, you know, we would always hang, you know, we take a break. All right, cool. Me and Erica go to the liquor store or go to the restaurant up the street and grab some food or whatever. So I remember one instance she said, where are you guys going? You know, it's like, oh, we're just going to grab some food. She was like, can I come? You know, so Rihanna, myself, and Eric Smith are rolling down Hollywood Way in Burbank to a restaurant. It's a very formal restaurant called Porto's, Cuban place.
I know it.
I recommend, this is not an ad. It's not an ad for Porto's, but very, very good place. I mean, amazing food.
Oh, man, those meatballs from there are just incredible, aren't they?
Bro, I might take a trip to Burbank soon. And the last time I rode by there, it was a line all the way down the street. But yeah. But anyway, you know, we were standing in line, myself, Eric Smith, and Rihanna, and nobody knew who she was.
Mad.
Nobody knew who she was. Nobody was turning toward her to say, oh, my God. It was right after Pon de Replay came out.
Right.
So it was right before Umbrella.
Right. So she must have been really young as well at the time.
Yes, she's very, very young. I can't remember the age. It was 2006, I believe.
Wow.
But yeah, right after Pon de Replay, we were actually rehearsing Umbrella, you know, on that run, getting ready for some festival runs and opening up for different artists and stuff like that. But we were just in line, getting our food, got our food, got back in the car, went back to, you know, to the rehearsal studio. You know, fast forward to 2021, now she's a billionaire.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? So that journey and that ability to be able to see artists of that magnitude grow is something very special, and it's something that listeners, I know, don't really get a chance to do. I mean, you see it outside looking in on, you know, social media or in the news or in the tabloids or whatever, but to actually see the work ethic of an artist, you know, from start to present is something really, really special. And I would say to you, you know, working with this artist that is, you know, very, very new, you know, it's okay, I feel like, to share some of those little nuggets and some of those gems, you know, with them, you know, some of the things that they are going to experience, some of the things that they're going to encounter, because I've sat behind so many brand new artists and seasonal artists. But you don't skip any steps, you know. And by that I mean, you're gonna go through those things. You're gonna go through those terrible in-ear mixes. You're gonna go through those people that are yes men. You're gonna go through the times where people are not gonna tell you the truth. You know, I was always some for some reason, I have no idea why, but you know, artists usually would ask me questions about, you know, certain things in the shows, and they trust me with certain things and be like, I know you'll tell me the truth. You know, I know you'll tell me the truth. I know you'll be straight up with me. I know you'll keep it 100. And I think it's very important for those artists to know that they have people on their side that will tell them the truth, not in a mean way, not to embarrass you, not to make you feel bad, but actually looking out for your best interest, you know? And that's, I feel like that's very important.
Yeah, I had this exact conversation with a friend actually yesterday. We were talking about exactly this. And as humans, we don't always need to have yes. There is times where it's important to hear no. And just to bounce off your point, it's not no in the sense of no in an aggressive manner or no in a putting down or anything like that. It's knowing, hang on, how do we make this better? How can we improve this? How can we get better? And we all hear no, don't we? We all hear no throughout the day. There's always times we're going to hear no. I have a four-year-old in my household. I hear no more often than I hear yes. Happens all the time. So it's just, it's important for development, for getting better, for striving, for moving forwards. Sometimes we've got to hear no. And I agree with you, CJ. It's really great with artists early on to kind of get in with that groundwork of like, it's going to be a lot of people around you saying yes, but trust those people. Trust those people that give a bit of advice and say, hang on, look, let's jump on this. Let's have a look at this. Let's see if we can get this a little bit better. It would be important. So, yeah, that's really cool, man. Does it get any bigger than Rihanna? We're hearing stories about Rihanna on ASP right now. Amazing.
You know what? I think that non-disclosure agreement is up by now. So I have a little bit to dispose, nothing too crazy or serious, you know what I mean? Just, you know, some nice stories and some things that'll help us out. You know, we experience these things not for ourselves. you know, but to help people, you know, to help other people and to actually, you know, kind of give a different perspective on some things, you know, another side.
Yeah, totally. Feel me? Absolutely, man. And I mean, something that was really scary is when you're talking about 2006, like, obviously I can remember that really well as well. Some of these listeners that are listening to us right now may have been born in 2006. Isn't that crazy? 15 years. And that's we were out there gigging and doing stuff 15 years ago. And it's crazy to think that some people were being born who are now playing on stage themselves now. And it's just surreal to think that, I know I don't want to go too deep again, but like with time and things like that, like 2006 was 15 years ago. All of those songs that I still think are like modern and the artists that I think are modern, to a like teenager now, it'd be like, oh, that's an old artist. And it's like, oh, damn, maybe it is now. It's so weird to think of how that works.
Scary.
It is.
It's scary. It's very scary. And I'm afraid for my kids as well.
Mm.
I'm afraid for them because I'm afraid that they won't get a chance to get the actual true and real. You know what I mean? Like, I try and instill it in them. I try and keep it real with them. I try and, you know, keep them kind of on the narrow, you know, as far as the thinking is concerned. But, you know, they're highly influenced. You know, children are so highly influenced by so many things. And, like, I'm an old guy now. You know, I'm an old guy.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know, so it's
you
like,
don't
you
look
know,
it, so that's all that matters.
Oh, you're far too kind. Thank you so much. You know, but my perspective is different from theirs, you know, right. So just trying to keep that balance between the two is such a task. And, you know, we absolutely have the opportunity to just have, you know, the old, a little bit of the old and, you know, our parents old. With a little bit of the new, and now we're moving into a whole new age, man. This world is turned upside down, far like light years away from what we grew up on. Like, I'm talking about 80s. I mean, it's so different. It's so different, you know, and even in artistry, you know, music is kind of like the only thing that'll kind of stay a little consistent or a little, you know, where it'll be. You'll be able to get away with it. You know what I mean? But music, it always comes back around to the real. I'll always say that, you know, the hip hop community is always growing, is vastly growing. There's different pockets of the hip hop community. There's different pockets of R&B soul, neo soul. It's like all of that stuff. But somehow, some way, it comes back to the real. You know, that it comes back to the real. And the circle of music always takes precedent over everything else. So, you know, that's our prayer. That's our hope for all the new and independent artists, that you would just, you know, take a little bit of the old and recognize where the origin of all of this stuff comes from. You know, it don't just come out the clear blue. You know what I mean?
No, totally.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely, man. To that point, can we introduce our guest for today? I'll let you do the introduction, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, on Another Side Podcast, we have another good friend, brother, comrade in the industry. His name is Joseph Burrell Jr., but we know him as Lonnie Burrell. Lonnie Burrell, everybody.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me, man. This is amazing. Awesome, bro.
And Lonnie, this is Sandy, my co-host, Sandy Bills. He's in the UK right now.
What's up, Sandy?
What's up, man? Great to meet you.
And where are you at? Where are you at right now, bro?
Man, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm working on a duet, man, that I never imagined even happening. You know, the young generation, Jimmy Allen, who's, man, he is steamrolling the country music side. And you know, we just never expected to be working with him. And he's a huge fan of KC, man. And he called me. I've been working on this project for a couple of weeks now. And he's like, man, I really want to do this, you know, duet with KC. And I'm like, man, let's make it happen, you know. And so we here, man. You know?
Yeah.
I told him, I said, man, I don't care where we at in this song. I gotta be a part of this episode over here, so.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And we're always talking. We talk a lot about collaboration and musicians, the need to collaborate over the last year especially. And that's kind of a perfect example, isn't it? When people reach out and say, hey, I want to jump on this track. And then it happens.
Yeah.
And then you'd be surprised, right? You'd be surprised the amount of people that are hesitant to reach out. But it's so important.
Absolutely, it's important, man. So much of my career is just from reaching out, you know, and really creating whatever's in my head. Like Chris will tell you, I've called him many a time and said, man, I got another idea, Chris. You know, I sang it to him. And we really create something from nothing. We put our heads together. And if it's an idea, then let's bring it to life, you know?
For sure. Sandy, I know him. I've been knowing Lonnie for the better part of my entire life. Like our families are used to fellowship together at churches, and we know each other. All his sisters and all my brothers, and you know, we all know each other. And Lonnie actually started playing drums. You know, he's always been able to sing, but he's also a drummer as well. But Lonnie, those of you that don't know you, let's talk a little bit of history about where it all started from you, like outside of the church.
Well, you know, that's crazy because Chris, you know, a lot of people don't know I play drums, or I used to, and it plays a big part in my production now, me as a producer, how I, my syncopations and things like that. Of course, you know, it started in church, and you know, met you, and we both first playing. You know, you allowed me to play on your black drum set, man. You know, we were young, but those years, I was running from singing. You know, I was running from singing. I was running from whatever had to do with getting all the attention. And I'll never forget while I was playing drums. As a teenager, that's how I would get my Jordans, take my girlfriends to the movies and stuff like that. I would play at church. I would play the drums, and I was running from singing. And I'll never forget there was an afternoon service. The church I was playing for, they visited another church. And when I get there with my snare and my stick bag in my hand, the pastor sends a message to me, a messenger. Says, Pastor, want to know if you would let the drummer for this church play for our choir today, and you sing, you lead us, because our lead singer isn't going to make it. So I looked and I said, with my rayon shirt, you know, with my slacks, with my stick bag, I said, you tell the pastor, he don't pay me to sing. I don't sing. Just because he know I can sing don't mean he could pull me off the drum. I would be playing the drums, what I came in for, you know? And cut to Wednesday night Bible study from that Sunday afternoon. I get to Wednesday night Bible study, and there's another drummer on the drum. Sandy, there's another drummer on the drum. I see my girlfriend in the church. I said, what's going on? Pastor sends a message to me again and say, Pastor wants you to know you are suspended indefinitely. I said, what? For what? What did I do? They said, disobedience. Because I didn't sing.
Sounds just like the church.
He saw something in me years before I did, you know, because eventually I ended up putting the sticks down and saying I'm going to sing anyway, you know. But those are stories that I'll never forget that help you find yourself, you know. And you can look back and say, wow, you never know what people see when they see you.
Mm.
And so... you know, but that was the beginning of a lot of things where, you know, my first tour was with John P. Key, which I'm in Charlotte now, which was the first place I moved to out of Los Angeles. I came here to Charlotte with John P. Key for 3 years. I traveled with him, and then I went secular. I went back home to California, and Teddy Riley from Guy, you know, they were on tour, Teddy Riley and Guy, and Romeo Johnson. He was vocal coach. He took me under his wing, and I toured for years with them. And then I went from touring with them to touring with Jodeci and, you know, Monica, Ruben Studdard, Destiny's Child. And it got to a place where I was touring with so many people singing backgrounds. They were starting to feature me as a background singer. You know, when some artists go through dress changes and things like that. They would leave the stage to the background singers, and I was always one that had solos and things like that, to where their fan bases would want to take pictures with me and meet me after the show, and they would say, "Lonnie, when is your stuff coming? When are you? You were amazing." And I was like, "Wow, I never saw that." Okay, well, I was always one to say, "Well, let me give the people what they see." Mm. You know, I never was like, me, I'm this guy, I'm this artist, I'm hot, I know this, I know that. I just always would get in where I fit in, but I wanted to be great wherever I was, you know? And so a lot of people didn't know when I was going home, I had met Tank while I was on tour with John P. Key. And Tank told me, he said, "Man, if you ever move back to LA, call me," because he was moving to LA. And he said, "Man, I'll be at the studio all the time." I took him up on that. I took Tank up on that. And he was a real one. He answered the phone and he gave me the address to where he was always, to the studio, whether we writing at his house. And it became this thing where, as I was going on the road, singing for all of these people, I was leaving with CDs. This is back when we had CDs in the little jacket, the little paper jacket. You remember that, Chris?
Wow. You know?
And I would have paid about 10 of these, you know, with Tank's vocals on them. And we just would be writing, man. So I'll never forget Ty Hunter. Shout out to Ty Hunter, who was Tina Lawson's assistant back when Destiny's Child was on the road. And I'll never forget him asking me, "Lonnie, can I just get one of those CDs? Man, I really liked your music," because I would be, you know, playing it on a tour bus and different things like that. And so I gave him a CD. I walk in Destiny's Child's dressing room maybe 2 weeks later, and they're like, "Oh my God, I love this song, and I heard this song, and I heard that." I'm like, "What? Ty, you playing my stuff in here, man, while he's dressing the girls?" And so that turns into me working in the studio with Kelly and Beyonce and Michelle, you know. And just the story of my life, man, it became a thing of, I would go from the studio back to tour, studio back to tour. And it was like I was selling drugs, but the drugs was my music. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And after a while, I ended up having to slow down from touring just a bit, because I had to, you know, I became Lonnie Burrell, the artist. I became Lonnie Burrell, the producer, the songwriter, the Lonnie Burrell, the A&R. And so now I go out sometimes with certain artists to have fun. And I'll never forget just, you know, getting to travel with Chris Brown for about 5 years, touring with him. But that was after I had developed his voice and vocal production for years. And you know, we really developed a bond as brothers. And he, one day in the studio, he said, "Lonnie, man, I know you've been home. You've slowed down a bit. I know, you know," because I was out with Tank for years. And Tank said, "Lonnie, you got to fly." So I was away from the road for some years and writing with Chris Brown and different artists. And Chris said, "Lonnie, you got to come back on the road. Why don't you just come with me, man?" You know, I'm like, "Really?" And so that just was a whole nother thing, because he didn't give me no rehearsals. He said, "Lonnie, you know all this stuff, man. You've been rocking with me for years." So I ended up getting on stage with him, and we start touring for 3 to 5 years, man, and just having a ball. You know, I don't know what part of the music game I love the most, whether it be performing live or in the studio or just wherever we are, man. I just, you know, it's so many. My life has been a movie. It's been a blessing. You know, even to do the Bible of Love with Snoop and be able to come back and call my brothers, Chris and Bennett and Michael. And, you know, we known each other all our lives, done a lot of live work together, but to actually do some documented work, some commercial release work that went number one and had so much success. You know, I had never really truly come back and given back to the gospel. They would call me somewhat rebellious because I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music growing up in my home. So it's amazing that I've written all of these secular songs, right? And so, you know, the Bible of Love is definitely a staple in the catalog with that I hold dear, because, you know, only what you do for Christ, man, it lasts the longest. So I'm excited to keep going. I don't know what God has next, man. And I'm just here to be of service and to continue to have fun and deliver at high levels, you know?
Wow, man. I could listen to you speak all day. Matt, that is inspirational to hear your story. So much I want to ask you from that. But I mean, part of what really shines through there is people seeing things like in you throughout that journey and throughout the way, people seeing things in you. And you never forget those people, do you? And it could be something small, some small comment at some point that someone makes can actually be really life-changing and can really put you on a different... Imagine if they had let you play drums that day and they hadn't pushed you to the front. Your path would have been different. There's not really two ways about it. And that one person seeing something in you that you maybe hadn't even noticed that they had seen, I think it's amazing, and you will never forget that. And I think this is an eye-opener for artists, producers, musicians. No matter what you're doing, you've got no idea whose eyes and ears are on you, and you've got no idea where the people in the room with you right there, where they will go, what they will become, what they will be, what they maybe already are. We've all been in those situations where you do something, you do a session, you do a rehearsal, you do whatever, and then later on you go home and someone texts you, maybe someone else in the band or whatever it is, and said, do you know who that was? Do you know who that was on whatever, BVs or guitar or vocals or whatever, like whatever it might be. You're like, oh damn, I didn't even know that was that person. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I prepped. I'm glad I was ready for that. I'm glad I showed up.
You know what's crazy? Like, there is so much YouTube footage of every artist that I've sung background for. Like, the stuff is out there, you know. It's oftentimes, you know, a lot of fans post things and I catch it. I'm like, oh man, let me rip that. But it's so much fun that I've had. And I'm just elated, you know, to be in great company. And to continuously be called by legends of the game, you know? Even, you know, just Jamie Foxx being a client of mine for, you know, 20 years now, you know? He's kept me in place as a songwriter, as his musical director, as his, you know, producer. And I'm just, to be able to still do this at a high level, I'm humbled. I'm humbled, I'm grateful, and I just know I don't know it all. I'm always here to learn, you know? So I'm a servant. I'm an humble servant, and I'm like a chef in the kitchen when it comes to the music. Just tell me what you want, what you want to eat. I'm going to cook it up, man. We're going to figure it out.
Okay, I know you're a humble servant, bro. We get that. We know. We got you. So the listeners that don't know who you are, you spoke about it a little bit, about the Bible of Love project, produced and co-produced by you and Snoop Dogg. Let's talk about how that came about and the elite personnel and artists that was a part of that project as well, that you actually switched your hat again. You not only was in the music and performing live, and then you moved to the studio and writing, and now this hat, the A&R hat you put on to help this project come into fruition.
Man, you know what's crazy about how the Bible of Love started? I actually thought that I was just going to be writing two or three songs and going on my way like I do, you know, a lot of projects. You know, you hear, they want you to come write. Okay, oh, great. Hopefully I get one. If I can get two or three, that's amazing, right? So me and Snoop ran into each other. I was with Jamie at Beat Shazam, and Snoop was a special guest. And I had just reached out to Snoop maybe 2 weeks prior because he was working on another album that I was, you know, submitting for. And so it was my first time seeing him. I said, man, I missed that new album. You know, I wanted to be on there. He said, because you can't miss the next one. And I said, oh, really? He said, I'm doing a gospel album. And I was like, okay. He said, yeah, come by the studio so I can put you up on game, let you hear the vibe. I said, okay, cool. Let me know when you're there. He said, I'll be there Tuesday. I pull up. He plays me some songs. I'm like, okay. I have my partner Griff with me. So he gave me two beats and he said, let me see what you can do to this. So I just wrote to those two songs. Then they said, all right, come back tomorrow. I think I want a live element from you. Like, live element? So I get in the car and I start calling. I call Bennett. Say, Bennett, I might need you to come down to Snoop's, man. Got a gospel project. He said, what? Snoop doing gospel? Yeah, man. We might need to call Chris. I need to call Michael. You know, we can call the fellas. He said, all right, well, let me come down there and see what you're talking about. So Bennett comes the next day. We knock out like 5 ideas on the piano, just me and Bennett. You know, I'm singing on my voice note on my phone. Before I know it, Chris is at the studio, Mike is at the studio, Battle Cat is at the studio, and we're bringing these ideas to life. And Snoop immediately falls in. Like, the music he's hearing is like what he was praying for, you know? And so he starts saying, cuz, I see this person on this song. I hear this on this song. He starts putting his vocals on songs. And before you know it, I'm like, well, I hear this person on this song. And I hear this person. And he like, well, I hear this person. Then he sat down with me. He said, hey, cuz, this me and your album. I said,
straight what? Up.
For real? He said, you Jimmy Iovine, cuz, I seen you before. I know how to use you. You Dr. Dre. He said, see, people don't want to give you a credit. He said, for a long time, you've been A&R, you've been writing. People been using you the wrong way. They don't want to give you a credit. I'm going to give you all your credit.
Wow.
And lo and behold, he gave me all the credit nobody ever gave me on the project. And that started something new that I can't come beneath the bar, you know?
That's so special, man. That's amazing.
He definitely uplifted me to a place that people respected and it's carrying on in the most amazing way. Yeah, man. Shout out to Snoop.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't know if you feel the same. I don't know if you get this, but I think along the way musically, you meet so many people and you meet so many household names and so many massive stars in the greatest way possible. It sort of becomes normal, doesn't it? It's like, oh, that's that person, that's that person. And then occasionally you catch yourself. You'll be in a studio or you'll be in a rehearsal room or you'll be backstage at some event or whatever it may be. And you've been working with this person or you've been doing whatever or just hanging out. And you catch yourself and you look to your side and you're like, I'm standing next to this person. So you must have had those moments with Snoop where you're just like in the studio and then occasionally you're just like, I'm here with Snoop Dogg. This is just incredible. And 15, 20 years ago, if someone had said that to you, oh, you'll be in the studio and you'll be with Snoop and all these things. It's good to look back, isn't it? And it's good to humble yourself and be like, hang on, I would have just done anything for this opportunity back then. So, and here you are and you're doing it. Incredible.
Yes, sir. Man, I couldn't have written this story. I couldn't have chosen this life. And I'm just living it.
Yeah.
You know? Lonnie, you the man, bro. Like, seriously. I've seen, we talked about earlier, the growth. You know, I've seen it. I've seen you from the start. You know what I mean? It's a pleasure. It was a pleasure knowing you then and being introduced to you and the family then. It's definitely a pleasure right now, man. It's great to see where you at. I mean, you're in the middle of a studio session and you're taking out your time to talk to us over here at Another Side Podcast, man. We are so ever grateful. We got to wrap up with you because I know you got to go. But we're going to bring some guys on. What we do here is we celebrate the independent artists and the artists that are trying to start up. And we bring on artists and we play them some music and then we kind of give them a little feedback. Would you mind kind of sticking around and giving us a little feedback on that song? But before we do that, give us a sure one-liner or something that you can inspire somebody or encourage somebody to, you know, do the best that they can as an artist. Like, just a one-liner, something real quick. We don't even have to draw it out. You just give me something that'll just, I mean, like, smack them in the face, like, wake them up. Like, hey, this line I'm about to tell you is about to wake you up. Get off your ass. Let's do it.
I would say, in everything you do, no matter what you do, what field of work, what industry, aim for excellence. Do not do mediocre.
Man, that's good. That's good. What do you say, Sandy?
That's my one line.
I could not agree more. I could not agree more. Why would we not? Why would we ever sell ourselves short? Because that's all it is, isn't it? If we don't aim for the biggest, we are just selling ourselves short. Lonnie, just to echo what CJ said, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Like, genuinely, it means so much that people are taking the chance on us. We're just starting out as a pod. ASP is just beginning, and amazing people such as you are taking a chance on us. And honestly, we really appreciate it. It's humbling for us as well. So thank you, Lonnie.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I have fun with you guys today, man. Thank you.
Let's set the record straight to elevate the people. Now's the time to never wait for better days to reach you.
Guys, joining us on Another Side Pod, our very special up-and-coming guest for today. They're from a UK band called Nothing At All. And I, for one, wished this podcast was in video format, because if you guys could see the incredible moustache on Jack Flower, I would be so happy. We always do a screenshot of the episodes, and I can't wait for you guys to see this screenshot. Get on our socials and check it, because I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving it. He looks epic. James Jackman and Jack Flower from Nothing At All joining us. Guys, great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
He's got a flower mustache.
He has. And congratulations to you both for the inception of this podcast. I listened to the first one the other day when it came out Wednesday, and it's sounding great.
Oh,
thank
James,
you so much.
Too kind, man. Thank you so much. We only have Lonnie for a short amount of time. He's currently in the studio in North Carolina. So first of all, we're going to talk to me and CJ a little bit more later on. If you can quickly tell us something about the band, tell us about how you formed, what you guys are up to. We're going to play a track, going to get feedback from myself, CJ and Lonnie, and then we're going to let Lonnie get back to the studio and we'll continue the chat after that.
Sure. Jack, take it away, man.
So the band basically formed. It was a bit of a weird one. I'll try and keep it short and sweet. Essentially, about a couple of years ago, I uploaded a video onto YouTube. Didn't have any views for a long time. And then all of a sudden, it got put on the front page of YouTube. I think within a day, I got like 50,000 views. And then from there on, I think a lot of people were asking me to create kind of a band out of this video. I recruited James. We went online, found our singer, Yayan, and then from there on, that's pretty much where we're at now. I mean, it was just all from this YouTube video. A bit of a weird one, but that's how it's gone.
Amazing. Something that we people, listeners of this podcast, are already going to be really aware. Putting yourself out there and you uploading that thing is the only reason, isn't it, why you're here in this situation right now. There could be other situations, other things that happen, but this exact situation you're in now is purely because of that bravery to upload and put that out there. And James, for you to respond to that as well, is amazing. And this is how things are formed. Can you introduce the track you're going to be playing for us today?
Yeah, the track is called Right By You from our sophomore EP coming out later this year, 1st of October.
Awesome.
All right, here we go. Nothing At All.
Guys.
All right.
That's some great energy, man.
Yeah. First thing I would say, man, is kudos to you guys for even doing this. Kudos. Applause, standing ovation and everything. I am a new kind of like new into the production and artistry game myself, even though I've sat behind a bunch of artists, you know, and you know, seen, you know, looked over the shoulders of people and kind of caught the gist of how this works. I am one to tell you, first, there are no rules to whatever you're doing. Like, if you have vision, you know, if you have vision and it's your vision, I believe that you should stick to that vision and give all of your, you know, everything that you have, you know, all of it. Lonnie said something earlier in the podcast about doing everything with excellence. And as long as you're doing that with excellence, there's not too much we can say. Like, I'm kind of trying to find something to say other than I am a vocal guy. You know, I'm a drummer by trade. But when it comes to music and artistry and I hear tracks, I love to hear the vocal. I know this genre is very, very, like Lonnie says, very energetic, very high powered, high octane. But that vocal has to stand out. It has to be up front. It has to be where, like, you know, there's no stone left unturned when it comes to the vocal. However you can interpret, however you want to interpret that, having that vocal out there makes all the difference in the world. I'm not sure if it was maybe the internet or whatever, but even so, like in the polishing and finishing process of the record making, making sure that that vocal is out front, the execution sounds great, sonics sounds great, the drums as a drummer for this genre sounds amazing. You guys are really, really on the right track, man.
Thank you very much.
Lonnie, what were your thoughts from listening?
No, Chris really hit it on the head. I was, the whole time I wanted to not just hear the vocal, but I wanted to hear everything in its lane. And it seemed like some of them were crossing each other's lanes, kind of. It was a little blurry, but it felt great. The melodies in there, everything just felt great. But it was just a matter of sometimes, like, I'll never forget, I watched Dr. Dre one time at Encore when he was working up there. He spent like an hour on a snare. I'm like, what is he doing? You know? But by the time he was done and he brought it all together, how you could hear each instrument in its place and then the vocal is right here and you can hear what's being said. Like, I was just looking for the clarity, but it felt good, man. It felt like a great art piece that you played there. Mm. You know, it just needs some time spent on that sonic sound, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, amazing. Guys, it's so interesting to me that, like, this is a British band and it's like the most American sound, isn't it? It's that it's that throwback, that American Pie era, that early 2000s, which I love. I'm crazy into all that stuff. I'm wild for it. Like, that's when I was kind of through my teenage years and stuff. Like, amazing. And it sound like in the best possible way. It's that real kind of American pop punk kind of rock thing from that era, and it's just energy, isn't it? The main thing with the live show, when you guys translate this to a live show, it's gotta have energy. It's gotta have James, you over egging all those arms on the snare going bigger than you would normally go, and everything just being big and high energy and full on and out there. And just like CJ said earlier on, staying true to what you are and not feeling too much like you have to fit into anything and doing your thing, because the great thing about this style of music is it's never going anywhere. It's not a fad. It's not a phase. People are always going to love this style of music, and it's always going to be when people form memories and times where people go through different stages in life, music like this will be there, and it'll be important to people. So the great thing with you guys is you're in this kind of lane where it isn't going anywhere and it's still going to be there in the future. And you guys just sound amazing. Like, fantastic guitar playing as well at the end. Really tight. Really. Is that you, Jack, on guitar?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, really nice. Really crisp. Really well executed as well. Clearly, obviously, a lot of technique there. James as well. Fantastic. Absolute powerhouse on the kit. It's really great to see young up-and-coming musicians carrying this torch from where it's been previously, and following on in the footsteps of these amazing artists. And like I say, I'm a massive fan of this genre. Yeah, it holds a really special place in my heart. So to hear you guys absolutely killing this still is an absolute pleasure. It's awesome. And we want to thank you guys for coming on the pod. We're going to talk to you guys a little bit more in a second. But obviously, we're going to have to let Lonnie go because he is in the studio. He's currently recording a lot of cool stuff. Everyone, thank you so much. Lonnie, thank you so much for joining us on the ASP. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me, man. CJ, let's talk soon. We got some work to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's great meeting you, James and Jack.
And you, absolute pleasure.
I'm getting ready to go figure out how to get my mustache like that for my next album.
Believe in you.
All right, Sandy, I'll talk to y'all soon, man.
Thanks, Lonnie. Take care, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
no worries,
guys.
Absolute pleasure.
That was amazing. It's so like we're saying, it's so great that people are taking the chance. They're seeing an opportunity like this, and you guys are taking a chance on us as well. We're a startup podcast. This is a new thing for us, and it's a new venture. So we appreciate you coming on as well. And what would you say to other people? I asked our guest last week this, Lucas, and he did the same as you guys. He went on the socials, he used the hashtag Another Side Music, and he came on last week. What would you say to other people who are kind of umming and ahhing and a little bit unsure about putting their music out there and being featured on the podcast? What would your advice be for them?
I mean, I would say to just do it, because the music industry it's just all love, really. And it's, you can't go wrong with just sharing your art. And I think that stands for not just music, but everything. You can only grow and get better. So just go for it. Just do it. You will lose nothing from sharing, you know, your heart and putting it out there. And that's what I would say.
Nice.
Yeah. I would agree with that as well. Just what you were saying earlier, Sandy, like, you know, from putting this video on YouTube, like before that I had no kind of following, nothing like that. You know, like I said, in a day it's got like 50,000 views, and moving on from that, I think that this one video is now at just over 250,000 views.
Wow.
It's like if I'd never wanted to like put that out there in the first place, then none of this would have happened. And you know, I've had great time playing with James and Yain and the band and doing the things that we've done. So yeah, like you say, it's just kind of put yourself out there, and you know, you never know really who's watching or what's going to happen. So
amazing,
you know,
guys.
Might as well do it.
And it's always one of those things of like best case, worst case scenario. Worst case scenario on that, you get zero views. Best case scenario, 250,000 views. I mean, insane. You've met these friends and colleagues, bandmates, musical collaborators. It's just incredible, the power of believing in something that you've got and something you've created, and believing in what you possess as a musician, as a person, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about this a lot with Norel, our guest last week, and that self-belief, and especially in the earlier stages, you have to have that self-belief in the room, and just for people to know that they really believe what they're putting out there. Rather than if someone didn't think that, it's not going to work, is it? It would be on to the next. Whereas the fact that you guys clearly love and believe what you do, that is key. And that is what will see you through all of this. Something that jumps out to me is you guys have got to get on a support tour. If you think about when a big band comes over, especially from the States, within this kind of realm, you guys would be perfect as a support slot. Half an hour set, all energy, 30 minutes of pure energy to make their fans that have come in early say, that support band put on a show. And if you do that, you know, we're obviously in the streaming world, the digital world right now. People will stream your music. People get to know you. It builds and builds and builds, doesn't it? Even as you're playing, people will be on Instagram following your account. All these things. It's the world we live in, isn't it? This is where we're at. So, I mean, CJ, what would your advice be for finding support slots and things like that? It's not really my world in that sense. I don't really know how bands would go about that.
You know, I don't know either, to be honest with you, but I would say book your own tour. I would say you guys seem to be young enough to where you have time. I don't want to say you don't have any responsibility, but the responsibility you do have isn't as much as a guy like me. I'm, you know, I've crossed over into my 40s. I have children. I am married. You know, I have a pretty significant overhead. You know what I mean? But if you get a group of guys together that are willing to sacrifice their time for a, you know, a greater cause, like as far as the band setting, and I mean, that's how dudes used to do it. They get in a van, you know, attach their gear in a trailer in the back of the van and play venues, you know, like even call around and book your own venues, or you can create your own thing, like book the venues yourself, like Airbnb spaces. They have a thing out here called Peer Spaces, where they just have like open venues that they use maybe for a art show or some type of a fashion show or something like that. It's just a big open space. You know, you go in, you set up your gear, you set up some speakers, you do a show, you sell your merch, you know, and try as much as you can to document everything. And that's where, like you said, Sandy, we're in the information age. We're in the age of instance. Mm. So like somebody there with a cell phone, you know, is recording you and they post it and somebody sees it, you never know. You know, you never know who might see it. You never know who it might come across. Mm. And don't get discouraged either. You know, it could be two people in the crowd. And then it could be 200 people in the crowd, you know, and then from there, it just, you know, it snowballs and you create your own buzz and you create your own following and you won't need a support act, you know, to be a support act. You won't need to be able to have to do that. You already created your own thing. Or you can try and figure out how to become a support act with someone and go that route as well. But either way, you're going to have to sacrifice that time, sacrifice that effort, go through these, you know, ups and downs of being an actual band. Like I've been a part of a couple of bands and it's hard. You know, it's very hard being in a band. It's like so many different egos, four or five different opinions, you know, of how you feel like it should go or you think it should go this way. And you don't exactly know. And, you know, some people don't know much about the industry, but are trying to call the shots. You know, if you guys stick together and you guys stay humble and, you know, keep the common goal, whatever the common goal is, like just stick to that. You know what I mean? Just stick to that common goal and share the same vision. You know, if you're like, you know, I like playing drums in this band, but I don't think I want to do this long term. You know, be honest. You know, be honest with each other, keep everything in the forefront. I feel like that if you keep those key things together, everything will work out and fall into place. Mm. You know, you already got the content. The content's there. You know, it's just about, you know, everything arounding and surrounding that. I feel like, you know, you guys are on the right track anyway. You know, you're early. It's early in your ages, you know what I mean? You're not getting started super late, which is a huge advantage, you know?
Yeah, and you guys are investing in yourselves, these early stages, these formative stages. You're investing in yourselves right now. So all those travel things, going up and down the country, maybe going abroad, whatever it may be, you're investing in your future artistry. And you guys are a three-piece, is that right?
Yeah, there's only three of us, so okay. not many people to coordinate.
Which is great as well. You get in one car, if you can jam in a big enough car, get in one car, self-sufficient. It's really good. It's really great that you can do it. Small spaces, you can get places and you can get all your equipment there. And something that's really important is that in the future, you guys are going to get annoyed with each other and you guys are going to have those moments and you guys are going to have those arguments. You're going to have the best times. You're going to have the most amazing times. There's also going to be those hard times. It's just throughout time, it just happens, isn't it? You spend too much time with anyone, it's going to happen. And with bandmates, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Where like there's going to be times you're really super tired. You had done a flight at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. that morning. Getting into a new place, straight into soundcheck, straight away. Someone just makes one comment. It's like, what do you mean by that? And it's just one of those moments where like, it's going to happen again and again and again. What you guys need to keep remembering is these early stages and this camaraderie, this brotherhood that you form early on with your other bandmates. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what's in that moment when you snap and you shout at each other and you have those moments. That's going to happen. That's an inevitability. We're all human beings. But what's important? Why did you get into this? Why are you doing this? You guys remembering that this is what it's about and not letting those little bits get in the way, because they will when you tour. It's going to happen. But it's great. It's really refreshing to see what you guys are doing. Looking forward to hearing more. Just finally, can we just hear what you guys are up to next? What have you got coming out? Most importantly, where can we hear your music?
Yeah, so, well, we're already on Spotify, Bandcamp, YouTube, all those kinds of things. So just search Nothing At All. You'll find us on there. We've got a single coming out on the 10th of September, and then our EP is coming out on the 1st of October. So that'll be out on all streaming services. And we've got tapes being made as well in the UK, EU and US as well.
Amazing. Guys, Nothing At All Band, thank you so much. Jack Flower, James Jackman, it's been a pleasure to have you on the ASP. We're looking forward to seeing where this journey takes you. Again, one more time, thank you for taking a chance on us. It's great to have you on in this early stage.
Thank you very much for having us. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Take care, guys. Have a good night.
Cheers. You too.
No,
bye.
Bye.
Wow, man.
CJ.
Super young.
Young talent, man.
Three piece. Oh, man.
Is it that small part of you? There's always going to be that part of me that's like, I would love to do that. Is that thing
know,
of like, I see myself in that stage, and I remember going, like, rocking up to these random places in Europe, just some random venue. And you're just like, what is this? Like, what's going to happen? And you get some, like, very weird lunch provided by the venue. And then you do this really small capacity venue. But by the time the evening comes, it fills in with people. And it is just the most incredible vibe. And talking to those guys and hearing their music, I remember those times. I remember those shows and how all that feels. And it's so special, isn't it, man? Like, being a young musician and getting to do those things. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I applaud them. I applaud anybody that's willing to take a shot on themselves, really. You know, band settings are hard, but it can be done. It can be done. And it's evident, you know, stay focused and grind, you know, stay focused and grind. And, you know, for those of you that are listening and you want to take your shot, please, please hit us up. On all socials at Another Side Pod, and hashtag your music with Another Side Music. Get your submissions in, and you'll get that call so we can send you a release form to play your music on this podcast. And we're off and running. Whatever we can do to help catapult you to where you're trying to go, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do.
Too right. Absolutely. And again, we keep on talking about people shooting their shots, and these people are doing it. So it's been a pleasure to have them on. It'd be great to have more and more submissions along the way. So yeah, nice one, guys. It's great for everyone who's submitted so far. Keep them coming. It's always good to listen to the new stuff that you're all bringing out. So thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, man. Two in the bag, bro.
Two in the bag. This is it.
We got to get past two to get to 100 episodes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, thanks for listening. From myself and CJ, this is Another Side Pod.
Peace. To a century of memories of your best days. From the 70s to the 80s to the 90s. All the way to the next millennium, where you'll find. From blues, funk to hip hop that make you wanna pop lock. Jazz, gospel, and pop, there's nothing else we can't rock. Dub, reggae, the dubstep, R&B, and love next. House in EDM, got you up to 3 a.m. This thing is getting biblical, from the analog to the digital, from the underground to the mainstream, the world will hear the same thing. It's classical, magical, something that we have to do, and travel through the speed of sound to give the masses proof. The music is the language of the soul, and everything is music, even if you don't claim to know. This is a healthy way to lose control of something that you never had another side. Let's go.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.